Welcome back to Yoda Unum on Member Supported Restoration Radio. I'm your host, Stephen Heiner, and with us today is Father Arnold Trauner. Hello, Father.
Hello. Welcome back.
We're going to talk about eschatology today, and Professor Mario begins, "The eternity of happiness seems reasonable and proper to the human mind. Reasonable because the intuition of infinite truth and the possession of infinite good exclude the possibility of falling into error or wanting any good independently of the good that includes all others. Our objections arise when it comes to an eternity of punishment. Self-love finds nothing disproportionate about eternal happiness, but eternal punishment disgusts it. Why so, if not because self-love likes to deceive itself?"
That's very well put, yeah. Thanks, Professor Mario. Great thanks for this statement. We are very happy with anything good that happens to us, but we are never really happy. We don't like it when things go a different way, things take a different turn, but it's just how life is made. Naturally and supernaturally, the thought of eternal punishment just doesn't fit into our mind somehow. But I think it's correlative to the thought of eternal happiness, which we don't reject, but we don't think enough about it. We don't fancy heaven, the communion of the saints and the angels. St. Gregory the Great, in one of his homilies, he speaks about it. He says we should think of it, although it's difficult for us to imagine what it will be like, but it's good to imagine, to figure out what eternal happiness will be like, because then it's so much more attractive. Both things are very valuable, both thoughts are very valuable, the one to attract us towards eternal happiness and to do what it takes to get there, whatever we know we need to do, and the thought of eternal damnation in order not to end up in hell, but to avoid hell. We need to be saved, the concept of salvation.
But Catholic teaching on hell does not present it as a sort of perpetual paroxysm. The divine mercy operates even in hell, and it leaves out the sense of order born of the fact that the lost soul is in its appropriate place within the moral scheme of the universe, an infinitely long day of dimness and somber boredom. There's a lot I really like about this phrasing of Professor Mario. Firstly, the idea that the divine mercy operates even in hell, the idea that hell is an example of the order, the moral order of the universe, and this infinitely long day of dimness and somber boredom. I think the idea sometimes we can get very fixated on the tortures of hell because that appeals to our concupiscence, with sensuality, we can feel things. But realistically, beyond that, beyond the tortures, a long day of dimness and somber boredom, that you are going to be without our Lord forever, and that is, it's an inconceivable thought.
It is. Well, it should be. It should become a thought which is total horror whenever it comes to our mind, so as to inspire us to avoid this state at all cost. And what you mention here is very important, because beyond the physical, more physical pains, which also the separated souls now suffer in hell, essential pain, and one that is really inconceivable for our mind, insupportable, is the separation from God, the moral pain, as it is called in theology. The separation from God, it's willful and culpable separation from God, the effect of the decision of our will. The soul was sinning, agreed to sin, accepted temptation, whatever it was. The consequence of it, be separated from God. I should be, I could be with God now, and I'm not. And it's all of my doing. No soul in hell. No devil, no fallen angel has the thought which many people seem to have. Well, those poor souls, they got there without much of their fault. The other side of the curtain, no fallen angel, no damned soul has this thought. But it's the hell of hell.